Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the education story when we come back. Hey, you know, when you're making $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Then, in addition to that, you pay a 17% income tax on that same $50,000. Now, you know, that's another $8,500. Now, you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax, which makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It is not the 15.3% that you've been told. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? Number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Why don't you call and ask for our free general law CD package? It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. And remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult homeschool. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, now we're talking about the education story. So we've taken a look here at the costs of homeschool versus public education and the outcome, the quality that we get from public school. If you've come to the conclusion that you'd like to get a better outcome, well, then homeschool is the best. If you can afford it, jerk your kid out of public school and send him to your local favorite parochial school. It could be the Catholic school, Lutheran school, Jewish school. Any school is better than public school. At least it is here in the United States, and I would suspect that that's probably the case around the world where you live. Now, if you're living in Japan and you want to educate your child at home, that may be a problem, but I'll bet it won't be. I'll bet you that the elite of Japan do not educate their children in your public school system. I bet you they send them to a private school. Or I'll bet you you've got a homeschooling system or a homeschooling program in the country where you live. You may be in Brazil or Argentina. Maybe you're in Costa Rica. There will be a plan. There will be in your state statutes, in your national statutes, a plan for homeschool, parochial school, and public school. Now, all governments promote public school because it promotes the country, promotes the political agenda of the nation. That's why the Germans started doing this around 1800 to 1810. They said, hey, listen, we want to control the minds of the citizens of the nation. That's why they sent us to public school. Now, if you want to learn how to think for yourself, then you're going to have to get out of this program that we told you here in program number one. Remember, in 1819 in Prussia, the first compulsory schooling for children was instituted, and according to educator John Taylor Gatto, society in Prussia was divided into children who will become policymakers, children who will become assistants to those policymakers, and the children who will be the vast massed used. So Prussia set up a three-tier school system in which one-half of 1% of the population is taught to think. They go to the school called Akademie. 5.5% of the population go to the real schooling where they partially learn to think, but not completely. And then the third level over here was called Volksschulen. That system has been adopted in the United States, and it has been perpetrated upon everybody in the world. So if you're living in Japan, you can thank us Americans because we're the ones that gave it to you. We got it from the Germans, and we have disseminated it worldwide. So no matter where you're living in China or Russia or South America or North America, you're practicing this old Prussian system of state control over the minds of the people who they educate. This is why in the scripture God insisted that he be the educator and that you follow his law. He designed a legal education and said he wanted everybody in the world to have a legal education. Of course, we're all smarter than God, and so we said, hell no, we won't go. We're not going to do that. We're going to have a liberal arts education. Where did we get the idea that we wanted a liberal arts education? Well, we've got it, and it's been in many people's minds forced upon us. I don't think so. I don't subscribe to that. It is true that it is foisted off on us, and it's held out there. It's the easy way to educate your kid. Just bundle him up and send him off to public school. But again, if you've got any mind left to think with, Why would you want to spend that much money and get that poor a result? Is it because you hate your kid? I mean, you just, this little bread snapper over here, I really hate this little sucker, and so I'm going to send him to public school. I'll fix him. I never thought that with my children. I don't think my dad was thinking that way with me. I went to public school, sent my children to public school. But, you know, along the way, you wake up. And as I woke up and progressed along, I started sending my children to private school. And then as I got a little wider awake, I took them out of the school systems altogether and started educating them at home. And I got a much better result. And that's what I've been pointing out to you. Now, listen to this. Alpha Omega Publications, headquartered in Tempe, Arizona. Okay, get that name down. It's called Alpha Omega Publications. They're headquartered in Tempe, Arizona. They were established in 1982 by a fellow by the name of J. Richard Fugate. J. Richard Fugate, F-U-G-A-T-E. Fugate today is the chief executive officer. He's a longtime activist in the Christian school movement. Fugate earlier founded and served as principal of a private school. In 1971, he distributed at the extent to which humanism and its attendant evils, or rather I say, should say, in 1971, Fugate was disturbed by the extent to which humanism and its attendant evils had permeated the curriculum of the government schools, which their children were attending. So Fugate and his wife placed their children in Christian schools. But those, Fugate recalls, were not much better. They were using public school textbooks with the same kind of stuff in them, United Nations preaching and all of that. So we started teaching our children at home. Alpha Omega supplies textbooks and other materials in the areas of language, the Bible, mathematics, and social science. Fugate explains that they were written by some 200 authors throughout the country, all with at least a master's degree and 5 years of teaching in their fields. At present, the company's textbooks are not used in government schools, but a recently published mathematics book could help shore up that subject in state schools. Now, while the number of private schools has leveled off in recent years, Fugate is encouraged by the substantial growth in committed homeschool families. The response to House Resolution 6, he believes, let the country see in a very dramatic way the level of commitment that has been apparent from within the movement, that is the homeschool movement, for some time. And he estimates that homeschooling is increasing by about 50% a year. But we lose about half of those parents who start up the year before, only to find that the task is too trying. So in speeches, he warns parents that if you lack self-discipline, or if you lack personal organization, or if you lack the ability to control your own children, you're probably going to fail. And as the movement continues to grow and mature, the parents become more knowledgeable and proficient at the start, that attrition rate will undoubtedly decline. Now, the inaccuracy and humanist bias of many of the textbooks that are used in public schools has been a scandal for decades. Well, back in 1961, 16-year-old Jim Gabler asked his dad to scrutinize some troubling passages in his high school history textbook. Well, Mel Gabler also was disturbed by what he read, and from the text's enthusiastic support of constitutionally questionable federal programs to the omission of crucial aspects of U.S. history. The experience led Mel and his wife Norma to pursue other textbooks used by their children, and they found so many outrageous examples of immorality, obscenity, socialism, and anti-Christian, anti-American bias that they decided to register a complaint with the Texas State Board of Education's Textbook Committee. Well, initially, they were viewed as mere troublemakers, but as the Gablers delved further into the matter and meticulously documented their case, they have compiled thousands of detailed textbook reviews, which run from a few to as many as 146 pages. Other concerned parents, educators, and the news media began taking them seriously. And as their tenacious influence grew, textbook publishers and the State Textbook Committee began heeding their pleas for more emphasis on basic academic skills and less space for immorality, profanity, and other objectionable material. I might pause here and point out, you may not go so far that you want to get into the politics or you want to review your textbooks. But hey, listen, there are other people who do, and there are people who not only do it, but like the Gablers, are doing it effectively. Why don't you support their efforts? Now, here's another little factoid that comes into play here. In February of this year, and this is back in 1994, the HSLDA was instrumental in triggering massive nationwide opposition to a dangerous amendment that had quietly been slipped into House Resolution 6, the House bill to reauthorize the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965. Well, the amendment was proposed by a liberal representative named George Miller from California. Miller would have effectively required state certification of all teachers, including homeschooling parents. Think of that. So Miller quietly, in a routine bill, slips in this amendment that says all homeschoolers have to be certified teachers. You know, that would knock out 80% of homeschooling teachers, wouldn't it? George Miller, a Democrat, a liberal Democrat from California, has an agenda. His agenda is to shut down all home schools. Pure and simple. Shut them down. Now, you can't shut down the home school. You can't pass a law that says, thou shalt not homeschool your child. So the way they attack it is this. They put on regulations and onerous requirements that discourage you, dissuade you from homeschooling your children, as we saw right here with the gabblers. What they do is they've got an agenda. They want to educate your kid. They want to educate your child to sex education in public school. And I don't deny that your child needs sex education. But does your child need sex education from sodomites and lesbians? Or, mom and dad, do you think that maybe you could give better sexual instruction to your children than the sodomites and the lesbians? No, it's your choice. You can, and if you're a sodomite or a lesbian, hey, that's your choice, you know. Do you think that you could give your child better education? Now, frankly, you can't do better if you're a sodomite or you're a lesbian. You can't do better than to send your kid to public school because that's what they teach there. So, you know, probably public school is the place for you to go. But, you know, if you're a Christian, you know, maybe you're a Catholic or a Protestant, and you're sitting there saying, geez, I'm not sure that I like that. You know, you may be a Jew, and you may say, well, wait a minute. I think maybe I could educate my child to the morals and morality of my own church, my own beliefs, my own religious ideology, my own politics. I know it's kind of a wild new concept. And that's the kind of thing that I object to, like Representative George Miller. Now, he's certainly entitled to his opinion, and George Miller is certainly entitled to go out and get a teacher's credential before he educates his child. But let me ask you this. Why do you think George Miller should be in a position to require you to have a teaching credential so that it will discourage you from teaching your child at home so that your child will then be forced into the public school so that your child can be educated by lesbians and sodomites and sex education? Because, you see, it takes the decision-making from you. That's the thing I'm objecting to. So I'm not sitting here saying you should follow George Gordon and George Gordon's politics and morals. I'm saying you ought to follow your own. And I'm pretty confident that if 300 million Americans were free to choose, and they did in fact choose, we wouldn't have a public school system dominated by the New World Order. You wouldn't have a public school system, period. And we'd go back to the old system of the Mormons would educate their children to their Mormon philosophies, as objectionable as that may be. But then, you know, you Catholics then could educate your children to your Catholic ideologies, as objectionable as that may be to the rest of us. And then you Jews, you know, you could educate your child to your Jewish philosophies and ideas and ideals, as objectionable as that is to all the rest of us. And in the final analysis, everybody then has an input into the education of his own child, and that'll take all of the controversy out of it. Yeah, why are you complaining about the outcome of your child? You're the one that educated him. Why are you complaining? See, I'm not complaining about the outcome of my child. And the gabblers over here say, well, I'm sending my kid to public school, and I'm objecting to the socialist influences that the United Nations is exerting through the textbooks to my child. Good. Terrific. Jerk your kid out of the public school. And those people who subscribe to that public school philosophy, leave them alone. That's what free speech is all about. Let them make that determination for themselves. I'm not in favor of doing away with the public schools. I'm not an advocate for let's do away for the National Education Association. And let's shut up and stifle all of their views. Let them come out with their views. But hey, let's come up with our own. And let's not acquiesce to. Let's not succumb to. Let's not just bend like a twig, you know, blowing in the wind. And let's assert ourselves and let's be intelligent people about it. And let's start thinking for ourselves. Other people have their views. Mormons have their views. Jews have their views. Protestants and Catholics. Sodomites and lesbians, everybody's got his view. And you're entitled to your view, and you're entitled to free speech to espouse it. But trying to stifle other people's free exercise, like George Miller, trying to put a requirement in here that all teaching has to be done by certified teachers to eliminate homeschoolers is underhanded. That's an agenda. That's political dictatorship. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, the gabblers over here had a little more to say. Beginning in 1988, the gabblers began concentrating primarily on the factual errors in text, rather than questions of philosophy or ideology. Though they are more concerned about the latter, the fact-focused approach has made it more difficult for the textbook publishers and school officials to avoid making corrections, and it has tended to convince an increasing number of print and electronic journalists that what they have been claiming all along is true. In the spring of 1991, they revealed a shocking number of factual errors in textbooks slated for state adoption. One Macmillan McGraw-Hill text claimed, for instance, that Sputnik was the first successful intercontinental ballistic missile launched by the Soviet Union, and that it carried a nuclear warhead. Now, actually, Sputnik was a space satellite from a SANS warhead, and a Scott Forsman and Company text claimed that the Korean War began in 1959. And that the United States easily settled the conflict by using the bomb. In fact, the war, or police action as it was euphemistically termed at the time, began in 1950, and it was settled uneasily after 33,000 Americans were killed and another 103,000 wounded, and the U.S. never nuked the enemy as implied. Now, I don't know if you're aware of that, but those kinds of factual errors occur in your child's textbooks, and they ought not to. I mean, history is history. There's a more sinister revision of history being perpetrated in your public schools. You see, they just ignore certain parts of our important historical events in our history. They don't even tell your children certain aspects of the Civil War or the Revolutionary War or famous personages that took part in our government from the Revolution forward. They're right on top of telling you all the stories of Franklin D. Roosevelt and the Socialist New Deal, while they say little or nothing about George Washington and his views concerning morality that had to be taught to our children in order to maintain our republic. And so they teach us about our democratic heritage and origins, and they totally ignore our republican form of government. That's even more sinister. It's bad, but hey, you can correct that. You can teach your child. You don't have to have your child attending public schools to be propagandized and dumbed down. Let's go a step further. In the months after the gabblers began their search, publishers made nearly 8,000 changes in the texts. And as reported in the New American for May 18, 1992, on December 16, 1991, the publishers resubmitted the texts along with signed affidavits guaranteeing that the books were error-free. But on January 9th, the gabblers submitted a list of another 187 factual errors that they and Dr. Neil Frey, a former history professor, had found in the corrected texts. The red-faced publishers made another 1,669 changes and then returned with the new error-free versions. This time, the gabblers and Frey found an additional 112 factual errors. Mel Gabler laments that our nation has become exactly what has been taught to our children. 33 years ago when we started, we predicted the situation now. Not that we were so smart, we just looked at what the children were being taught. One of the problems, he advises, is that nearly everybody that fights these problems, whether it is abortion, pornography, or socialism, they generally, if you ever mention education, put it as one of the spokes on a wheel. Well, actually, education is the hub, because your ACLU-type lawyers and your left-wing politicians and all of those, they're victims of their education. Victims of their education. They're victims of the want philosophy and the John Dewey School of Education. You see, they got into the education system and we let them in. And now they're teaching their lies, their philosophies, their socialist and communist educational doctrines to your children. So it shouldn't be surprising that your children turn out to be communists. Hell, we've all been trained to become communists. Now the question arises, well, okay, is communism really good for us? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe communism is good for you. I woke up one day and said, I don't think this communism is as good for me as I was told that it was. Now, I sent my children to public school, and the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for free education for all children in public schools. I went to public school, sent my children to public school, and my children, predictably, all turned out to be communists. My dad was a communist. I was a communist. And my children are to this day. Well, most of them, not all of them, but most of them are communists. Why? That's the way I taught them. I trained them. I sent them to public school. Now, the second plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for a heavy progressive income tax. Are you people practicing a heavy progressive income tax? Well, okay. Where did you learn that? Public school. The fifth plank calls for a central bank. Okay. Do you practice central banking through your Federal Reserve or the National Bank of Scotland or the Central Bank of Germany or China? Well, okay. Where'd you learn that? Fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto. Eighth plank calls for Social Security. First plank calls for the abolition of all right to property. Come on. We learned that in public school. We learned that because that's what our governments wanted us to learn. That's what our educators pushed on us. That's what we accepted. Now, for any of you out there that can still think for yourselves, or hell, even if you can't think for yourself and you just think that maybe, gosh, what would it be like if I actually started thinking for myself instead of letting other people do my thinking for me? Is this really good for you? Is this what you want? I remember an old buddy of mine, he was a high school buddy, and one day we were talking, and when we were in high school, he was a rabid radical Democrat. But over the years, he had turned to Republican politics, and now he was voting the straight Republican ticket. And I said, Ed, now, you know, you were a Democrat when we were in high school, and you espoused, you know, Roosevelt and Truman and all the Democrat philosophies and one thing and another. And I said, what made you change? And he said, well, I took a look at the Democratic Party platform, and I noticed that they were pro-gun control. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I don't want government controlling my guns. And he said, they were pro-abortion, and I'm a Catholic, and I'm anti-abortion. And he said, I just went down the list, and I said, my God, most of what the Democratic Party was espousing, I was opposed to as a Catholic, or as a gun owner, or as a parent. And so he said, hell, and just my common sense said, well, I looked at the other party, the Republicans, and they were pro-private gun, they were anti-abortion, and so I changed my politics. Well, now that's what happens when people start thinking for themselves. Now, maybe you actually believe in gun control and abortion. Well, okay, well, then you shouldn't be voting the straight Republican ticket, should you? And if you are, why don't you think for yourself and say, my God, these Republicans are in favor of the Second Amendment. Now, I'm totally opposed to the Second Amendment. I want to take people's guns away from them. I don't want a gun. I don't have a gun, and I don't want anybody else to. Well, then there's a solution to that, isn't there? Who should you be voting for? Same thing's true here with school. What's your view on communism? What's your view on socialism? What's your view on abortion, the Bible, and so on? Why don't you think about that and say, well, is my kid getting that in public school? Did I get that in public school? All right, now we're starting to talk about, gee, how could we learn to start thinking for ourselves now for a change? Well, that's a wild new concept. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on Compact Desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, there's more to the story. Let me give you some more here. One of the most comprehensive sources of information about homeschooling has been the Big Book series by Mary Pride, which, beginning in 1986 with publication of the Big Book of Home Learning, the complete guide to everything educational for you and your children, has cataloged and evaluated various homeschool curricula, textbooks, records, cassette tapes, children's magazines, foreign language courses, games, maps, laboratory equipment, computer programs, charts, tests, tools, flashcards, models, and on and on. Mrs. Pride also addresses the key issues correlated with educational decline, from Keynesian economics and feminist propaganda to secular humanism and look-say reading textbooks. There are 4 volumes in the Big Book series, and they will soon be bundled with a CD-ROM as a single basic book accompanied by a computer storehouse of the additional information. Now, Mrs. Pride, who holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical Engineering and a Master's degree in Computer Science, is heavily involved in the effort to bring homeschooling into the high-tech age. She has written Pride's Guide to Educational Software, which reviews some 750 educational computer programs and is developing plans to launch her own bulletin board system. Her new magazine, called Practical Homeschooling, includes a high-tech section, which she speculates will eventually spin off into a magazine all of its own. So let's pause here for a moment. Let me give you this lady's name and number again. Now remember, 750 educational computer programs. I told you that there's just a plethora of information out there. And so these are the catalogs. These aren't, I'm not sitting here pushing this or that computer program and send your money today or your love offering to Georgie Gordon. I don't care who you buy it for. I don't get any money out of this. I'm not personally profiting. But I'm going to give you the catalog, and then you can go look at the catalog and pick whatever homeschooling program you think would be adequate for your needs. Some of them are pricier than others. On average, they're $550 or $555. Some of them are cheaper. Some of them are more expensive. Listen to this. This is called the Big Book Series. It's the Big Book of Home Learning. Can you write that down, boys and girls? The Big Book of Home Learning, colon. It is the complete guide to everything educational for you and your children. Hey, it's the complete guide to everything educational. And it has cataloged and evaluated various homeschool curricula. So they have cataloged and evaluated the Catholic program, the Lutheran program, the Baptist program, the Sodomite program. You know, if the Sodomites have a program, I don't know one way or the other, but you know, if they do, it's been cataloged in there. So now that makes the shopping easier and simpler for you, doesn't it? So get a copy of this lady's book now, one of the most comprehensive. This is Mary Pride, P-R-I-D, Mary Pride, wrote a book called The Big Book of Home Learning, the complete guide to everything educational for you and your children. Probably get it at Barnes & Noble. She's written more. She's got a big book series here that has been bundled with a CD-ROM. You can probably get this on computer. And a lot of these names and numbers in here, if you did a Google search, you know, and you just plugged in the name Mary Pride, you know, you'd probably come up. She's probably got a newsletter. She more than likely has a web page. She's going to be pushing her book. And you can buy the book from her, and you don't have to pay me a dime. Doesn't cost you anything for me. No commission for Georgie. And this Pride also addresses the key issues correlated with educational decline. So if you're concerned about Keynesian economics, that's what's being practiced today with this government bailout economic program. The feminist propaganda agenda. Does that bother you? So there's some material there. To secular humanism and look-say reading. Are you concerned about your kid, whether or not he's going to learn how to read by look-say or phonics? You know, you don't have to be a professional educator. All you have to do is say to yourself, do I want my kid to have a better education than he's going to get in public school? You can't hardly miss. Now, I imagine there must be some homeschool kids out there that turn out dumber than the 28th percentile in public school, I imagine. Remember, the public schools in the inner cities are turning out students on average at the 28th percentile. Some of those kids must be scoring at the 14th and some of them at 36th. But, you know, when it's all said and done, they're averaging out here around 28. So there's going to be some homeschoolers that are real busts, no doubt about it. But on average, they're scoring 86%. Boy, that's up. That's phenomenal. That's earth-shaking. That's mind-boggling. And the costs that go into this educational program. Hey, people like George Miller, they're not putting in these riders and amendments in these bills because they're trying to stimulate home education and brighter and smarter children. They are working their hearts out to make your kid as dumb as possible so that he'll be pliant and guidable and a good worker, a good citizen, somebody that can be controlled and manipulated and will be a good tax revenue, good tax source for revenue. And hey, if that's what you want in life, get after it, because that's the program that's being offered in public school. Now, if you want to break away from that, then let's start thinking about, gee, is there something else we might be able to do? Now, in this field, the Reverend Paul Lindstrom operates what may be the nation's largest combined private and homeschool program. He's been an activist in commendable causes for decades, first achieving national prominence in the late 60s after North Korea captured the USS Pueblo in January of 1968. He founded the Remember the Pueblo Committee to assure that Commander Lloyd M. Butcher and his crew were not flushed down the memory hole, as has so often happened with Americans held captive by the communists. Commander Butcher and his crew were released in December of 1968. Now, there are presently some 600 students enrolled at Reverend Lindstrom's Christian Liberty Academy in Prospect Heights, Illinois. The school affiliated Christian Liberty Press publishes about 100 titles for use in the curricula, but also utilizes material from other Christian-oriented outlets, such as Alpha Omega and Bob Jones University Press. The off-campus CLA satellite schools class have some 30,000 enrollees from kindergarten to 12th grade in all 50 states and 59 foreign countries, mostly homeschools for Americans based overseas, such as military personnel, diplomats, and missionaries. But in some instances, on campus, for example, in Japan, Suriname, and Russia. Now, the current Russian, or the former Soviet ambassador to Suriname, enrolled his daughter in the Christian Liberty Academy in the capital of Suriname in the late 1980s. On one occasion, when the ambassador was called to Moscow, his daughter, who had then by then been or had completed second grade, was interviewed by Soviet authorities, who, as recalled by Reverend Lindstrom, brought up some matters that were very evolutionary in nature. And she told them, no, that's not right. God made everything. So the handlers of the children, I guess, were taken aback by that and wondered, well, where in the world is this girl going to school? But the father got a kick out of it, and he would tell the story, and then he'd laugh. And he was so proud of his daughter. He was not upset in any way, shape, or form that she challenged the educational masters back there in Moscow who were quizzing her. He thought that was great. Now, staff personnel from other embassies, including that of Red China, also send their children to the Paramaboro School, where enrollment now exceeds 300. Indeed, Reverend Lindstrom says the embassy of one Asian country has designated the school as the school of choice for any of their embassy personnel or staff and are interested in being educated in the English language. Now, in Russia, Reverend Lindstrom, now this is in the Soviet Union or the old Soviet Union, worked with former Soviet dissidents to establish 6 on-campus schools to date, and Reverend Lindstrom's experience clearly confirms the worldwide nature of the private and the homeschool phenomenon. So this isn't something that just occurs in the United States or is a phenomenon that got started here back in the early 1980s. Hell, everybody in the world is dissatisfied with their public school communist school system. Now, most people don't actively do anything about it. They go along with it because that's the status quo. That's the easy way to live your life. The government requires you send your kid to public school, so I do that. But, you know, that's like falling off of a greased banana peel on a log floating down the Colorado Rapids. And the question arises, how do we slip off of this log? Hell, you couldn't stand on it. You couldn't possibly ride that log. And so that's what people want because it's the easy way out. Now, homeschooling and home education is not all that easy. It takes effort, discipline. You heard one of the officers say, wait a minute. If you can't control your child, how in the hell are you going to educate him? First thing you got to do is make him sit still. Most people's children are so hyper on sugar that they have to be drugged with Ritalin, for crying out loud, just to sit still in public school. Public school teachers complain about that. Kids jumping up, running around. He's got ants in his pants. When I was a kid, they used to slap him up alongside the head, kick him in the ass, and set him down. Today, you can't do that. But the moral of the story is that there's a solution to the problem. So if you've got a problem with public school, there's a solution. The best solution is home school. Take a look at some of these statistics. Brian D. Ray, a Ph.D., is an associate professor of science and education at the Western Baptist College in Salem, Oregon. And he also heads the National Home Education Research Institute, which, as the name implies, specializes in the collection, analysis, and reporting of statistical data relating to the homeschooling movement. This data is used to help initiate legislation related to homeschooling and family issues and to bolster the position of homeschoolers who become involved in court cases. The Institute also publishes the quarterly journal Homeschool Researcher to keep subscribers abreast of the ever-growing body of research in the area of home education. So it's not only big, it's getting bigger. Will it replace public school? Never. Government won't allow that. That isn't going to happen. So you're always going to be on the fringes. You're always going to be in a minority. But just because everybody else is going to be dumbed down doesn't mean that your child has to be dumbed down. Just because the majority of the students are going to be cannon fodder doesn't mean that your child has to. Just because the majority, that 94%, is going to be the taxpayers or are going to be the taxpayers of the future doesn't mean that your kid has to be one of those. Remember, there's a 0.5%, 5.5%, 94%. All right, going on here. Dr. Ray, a father of 6 children, pegs homeschool enrollment at between 450,000 and 820,000 nationally, indicating an increase in recent years of between 20 and 40% annually. That number is now 3 million as I speak. Now remember, this article was written back in 1994. So in 1994, there were about 400,000 to 800,000. Today, there's 3 million. A very dramatic increase. Now, it should be 6, 12, 18, 24 million, but it isn't, and it's not going to become that, not for some time. But hell, you can join up anytime you want. Every state in the union, and I'll go so far as to say every country in the world, provides for homeschooling of your children. Now, if you're an illiterate and you can't read and write and you can't think straight, you probably couldn't educate your child. But if you can read, now, remember the criteria, if you can read, you can homeschool, and your child can be in that 86% percentile group. Now, a nationwide study which he conducted of 1,500 families found home-educated students to be scoring on average above the 80th percentile in all areas of standardized achievement tests compared to a national average at the 80th percentile. Other studies have found that home educators are adequately addressing the socialization needs of their children and that the children have significantly lower problem behavior scores than their government school peers, and that happily, home educators and their families do not in general have a strong desire for access to tax-funded resources. Now, one of the proposals that the government has put out there is that let the government fund home schools and parochial schools. Hey, wait a minute here, boys and girls. Let me tell you about a little caveat here. There was a guy by the name of Filburn, and Filburn was a farmer. And back in 1938, when the government was nationalizing and taking over the farms like they're nationalizing and taking over the banks today, see, President Obama says, well, we don't want to go in the banking business. We don't want to take over the auto companies while they're giving out trillions of dollars of subsidies to these very banks and industries. He's doing just exactly the opposite of what he says he doesn't want to do. He is, in fact, nationalizing the banks and is, in fact, nationalizing the industries of America, and that's their agenda. But you see, they don't want to come to you and say, look, we want to turn your children out to be in that 94% of the ignorant masses of people that are servants. Hell, if they told you that, you wouldn't want them. So they come to you and say, our children are our future, and we just want to educate your child to the best of our ability and make him real smart so he can have a wonderful life. And that's the story that they're telling. But their actual performance, and here's where Jesus shined. He said, you know, you'll know them by their fruits. What are they actually producing? So while your educators have been telling you, we want to educate your children, we want to give you the best schools possible, they have given you a school system that your child in the inner city scores at 28 and costs $17,000 to do that poorly. And then they're trying to regulate you and take away your homeschool by making it the law that you have to have a teaching credential, which would eliminate 80% of all of the homeschools. Had that been enacted, 80% of homeschools today would be closed or underground, one or the other. And George Miller would stand up, look you in the eyeball, and say, I'm just real concerned about your child and your child's education, and I'm just working so hard for you, the American people. What a lying sack of scum. Look at his fruits. He's a New World Order socialist illuminist. Nothing more, nothing less. And hey, he's entitled to his personal opinions. He's entitled to freedom of speech. God love him. But he's not your friend, and he's working against you. So wake up and smell the coffee. That's why I suggest that we start learning how to think and think for ourselves. And I know it's a wild new idea, but let's take it on. Now, some of the most important sources of information regarding education-related issues are the books and other research materials compiled largely by unheralded individuals who stumble across or otherwise become interested in a topic and then investigate largely on their own. For example, Pennsylvania mother and homemaker Anita Hodge has become one of the country's best informed activists on education issues as a result of an ongoing investigation triggered in 1981 when her children began showing signs of emotional distress after being subjected to privacy-invading school questionnaires, deaf education conditioning, and other traumatic occurrences. The remarkable story of Mrs. Hodge's subsequent probe was recounted in the 1991 book Education for the New World Order by Beverly K. Eichmann in her own recent book A New Managed Economy, School of Tomorrow, and in an audio tape of one of her speeches accompanied by printed documentation supporting her allegations. They were entitled Talking Papers. Well, Mrs. Hodge sheds additional light on such concerns as outcome-based education, called OBE, the drive to redefine the term family, the carefully orchestrated process of creating human capital. Those are intellectually hamstrung and subservient workers conditioned to do the bidding of supposed superiors, and plans to collect, computerize, and centralize the most minute and intimate details about every American from cradle to the grave. So there are a lot of people out there that are writing books and material and informing you and I as to the skullduggery that's going on by our paid professionals in the education industry. And boy, is it big business. Education in America, public school education in America, costs $500 billion a year. It is the same size as the defense industry, $500 billion a year. And as a result of it, it's a half a trillion dollars. Get this. 67%, two-thirds of it goes to administration. One-third of it goes to education. So $2 out of every three goes to pay some bureaucrat to propagandize and institutionalize your child. And 33% of it, one-third, goes to actually educating your child. And then when we actually educate your child, we turn him out as a functional illiterate with sight reading education instead of phonics. The kid graduates from high school and can't read his diploma, for crying out loud. Then we say, well, the kid is ADHD, or perhaps he's got some other debility. And boy, do the school educators love to have debilities. That's why you have so many children that are ADHD. That scam is simple. Your kid goes to school, and the school's getting $55 a day to educate your kid. But if your kid is hyper, then they say, oh, my God, he's handicapped. Let's get him in the handicapped line over here, give him Ritalin, and then he's worth $110, twice as much. That's why school principals instruct their teachers, keep looking for more ADHD kids, because the more we have, the more money we get from the taxpayers. That's why they want every kid in public school to be handicapped. Just follow the money. That's where it's at. Now listen, next time on the Law Hour and editorial review, we're going to take a test. You know, next lesson here is test. We're going to take a look at the 8th grade test. If you wanted to graduate from the 8th grade in Kansas in 1895, you'd have to pass this test. It's a simple one. It's just a 2-page test, and it's divided into, let's see how many sections here. This is the 8th grade final exam in Salina, Kansas in 1895. Grammar, arithmetic, U.S. history, orthography. Boy, you know, orthography, I didn't even know what that was. And then syllabication and geography. We'll take that test next time on the Law Hour and editorial review, and let's see how smart you are. I want all of you college people, all of you people that have PhDs and master's degrees, make sure you've got a pencil and paper, and I'm going to give you the test. And I'll bet you that there's not a PhD out there that can pass it. Not one. 8th grade test from 1895. Let's test you next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Meanwhile, let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.